Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program,
the wisdom moment for today. You know, every day we try to share the wisdom from Proverbs. We got to pull those interviews out. We have. You got to hear this guy. I mean, he's like the Forrest Gump of experiences.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, he's lived off of Proverbs. You know, he's memorized the Proverbs. You know, he reads five Psalms a day. He says that God is his CEO for his corporation. You know, most people say, not most people, but what you hear quite often is God is my co-pilot.
Right.
You know, he's my vice president. And he says, and he operates by that, you know, God is my CEO. I serve him. And so, therefore, I use his wisdom to run my businesses. He has a medical business. You know, God impresses on him where to invest. Banks want him to serve on their board because he has the ability to look at financials and just know this is a good thing or it's a negative thing.
Yeah, God connects with presidents.
Oh, yeah, I mean, presidents. He's flown over, you know, weapons to Iraq, you know, aircraft to Jordan or something. And
Israel too.
Yeah, you're looking at him, and the bullet goes right through him but doesn't scar him, goes into his seat. It's, you know what I'm saying?
It's like,
you know, trust but verify. You know, but he actually was there when President George W. Bush, Governor Bush then, was just elected president. He just happened to be there at that one moment. And they asked him in the governor's mansion of Texas to be able to anoint him and pray for him, lay hands on him. And in either way, this man operates off what we're sharing with you, the wisdom of God. He just looks at how God says to do it. For example, if he serves on a bank board, if they wanted to be on a bank board, he says you cannot charge excessive usury fees. You cannot charge high interest rates. You cannot, because one of the big profit lines in the banking system in America is on the poor, the ones that are trying to make ends meet, and they're bouncing checks, and they charge a fee, some sort of insufficient fee, and that's probably a largest profit line, he was saying at that time, on banks. And that's why they give you free checking, because they'll make more money off the individual who struggles financially than they will the millionaire.
Yeah.
Because you'll be writing checks left and right to pay them $35 just for the fact of them giving you a free checking account. And which is excessive usury, and Proverbs says don't do that. And so if he serves on the board, he says, this cannot be the main profit margin for the bank if I'm going to serve on it. You have to lower that down and be more merciful and that type of thing, and God blesses the bank.
Yeah.
And so we're not just, you know, talking about, hey, this is a good idea. This is how you can be blessed by, you know, going after God's wisdom. And so there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 30 to 31 days in a month, except for, you know, February. And so you can, if it's the ninth of the month, look at the ninth chapter of Proverbs and just listen to it, really, because you want to do your other abiding time where you're reading, you know, other words, but this wisdom part, just let it wash over you and grab something from it. And today, you know, I grab from this wisdom moment today, Proverbs chapter 9, because it's the ninth of the month, verse 10. And this is so important because you can't, if you don't start, you know, the first grade, you're not going to be in the 10th grade. You know what I'm saying? If you don't begin, you know, you're never going to arrive. I mean, at some point, you got to start. And there's a starting point with wisdom that prior to the starting point, there is no wisdom. And this is what he says in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's so powerful. It's like, hey, that's the first grade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know, that you know, if we're looking in God's word, just gathering knowledge, and we don't have a fear of the Lord, then it's going to be fruitless. It won't be fruitless. It'll be fruitless in the things of God, but it won't be fruitless in the things of disaster.
Right.
You know, because you'll be moving thinking you're doing what God is telling you to do, but you did not have a fear of the Lord when you were applying the principles of God. You know, and so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the very beginning of it. And so, which means that if you have not yet been given this gift called the fear of the Lord, ask God for it. You know, we pray in the prayer and fasting community, the VFN prayer and fasting community, a prayer that says, Lord, strike our heart with a lightning that from your throne room with the fear of God, with a holy dread, not a dread of negative sense, but the fact is like he's God. The awe of God. You know, the awe of God. You know, I think about, you know, in Streams of Ministries, you know, where John Paul Jackson, you know, just recently stated that there was a time that he celebrated position and title and that type of thing, but now he just he's just amazed only at the awe and the awesomeness of God. And that's a man who's found wisdom.
Right.
That's a man who's found wisdom. You got Reverend Billy Graham says, you know, I wish I would have spent more time in prayer and praise to God. You know, and it's a man who realizes, oh my goodness, that's one of the most important things.
Right.
He wasn't going to forego his ministry. I mean, you can see that whole interview on the VFN Torch, but you know, that spending time with God. Then if we don't spend time with him, there is no fear, healthy, reverential fear of God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of him, the Holy One, is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is a gift from God. It is the first grade. It's the beginning of wisdom. That means if a man or a woman has no fear of God, they have no wisdom at all. No wisdom. I mean, they may have a lot of knowledge, maybe, but no wisdom at all. They have not even begun to know wisdom. Isn't that wild?
Wow.
Confucius says, it's like, what? What?
If
you had the knowledge of God, you would not have used that particular quote.
Yeah.
So the fear of the Lord is, and first of all, when you think about it, it's you know, if you had a healthy relationship with your father and your parents, you know, and you knew what their expectations were of you, and you didn't meet those expectations, and he was coming home or she was coming home from work or something of that nature, it crossed your mind that this parent who loves you dearly was going to bring it to your attention that you didn't do this particular thing or that. If it wasn't an unhealthy relationship, you know, we're not talking about abuse or nothing, but just there was this like there's something in your heart that you knew you wanted to please your parents, and there's something in your parents' heart that wanted to train you in the ways you should go, and they had expectations of you. And when those two things contradict, if there's a right relationship with that parent, you know, you have a fear of that parent coming home, you know, and you want to be able to quickly as you can, you know, do what you didn't do, you know, and make it right, you know, send a peace treaty before they go home. Now they have texting. We didn't have texting. So you can text and like, say, hey, I'm sorry. Send a text, you know, like Jacob sent gifts to Esau. And so, but that's healthy. It's healthy today. I mean, there is no fear of anything.
No.
I mean, I was talking to, Judge Geeker. He was a circuit judge, and, he's retired now, and he was having lunch, and I was having lunch, so we just, you know, sat together and talked. And, you know, I was in law enforcement for quite a few years, and I appeared before his bench with some of the people that I took to the hotel. And, the gray skull, they called it, prison, jail. And, you know, in the past, you know, there was a fear. There was a fear of consequences. There was a fear of what might happen to you, and you didn't want the death penalty. You didn't want to be in prison for 10 years. You didn't want, you know, this a record where you couldn't get a job anymore. And even Rick Joyner said, you know, in the 50s, people who didn't even know God feared God. Right. They didn't even know him, but feared him. They were like, they were very respectful and honoring of God's name. Now today, people who say they know him have no fear of him, as if he's not to be feared. And I'm not talking about terrified, but just like your parent that loves you dearly, that's feeding you, that's probably coming back from work to be able to put food in your belly at that age, you know, and to give you shelter and a home. That's what God does for us. And then we just shake our fist in his face. And so the first thing about the fear of the Lord is awareness of the awesomeness of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us you first have to first believe that God, you know that God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Mm-hmm. You first have to be aware of him. If you're not aware of him, or if you're only aware of him one time a week, you know what I'm saying? That's not a fear of God. That's a religious experience.
Right. Or when you want some.
Or when you want something. Or you're in trouble. And so the first part of the fear of the Lord, we're talking about the beginning, this walk of wisdom, is to be aware of him. You know, John's Acts chapter 17 says, you know, God designed the very places that we live. He picked our address, the very season that we would live in. And he did this so that we might reach out and touch him, though he's not far from us. A fear, a fear of the Lord is an awareness that God is always there. Just because somebody says, well, he's not here, doesn't mean he's not there. It's just you're not acknowledging him being there. So the fear of the Lord, the beginning of that is to be aware that he's here.
Right.
You know, and secondly, is that you're a disciple of the Lord, somebody who fears the Lord. When Jesus says, you know, if you follow my teachings, you're really my disciple, then you know the truth and the truth will set you free. When he tells his disciples, go make disciples of the nations, then we have to understand what the teachings of Jesus are and apply them in our life. A fear of the Lord is somebody who is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, knowing him as Lord all the way to the Great Commission. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, because you can't just grab wisdom without being aware of God. There's no such thing as wisdom without being a disciple of Jesus, and you're not going to apply it properly. And finally, you know, understanding that not only are there rewards for diligently seeking God, but there's consequences for not walking in his ways. The same way it was when your parent was coming.
That's right.
You know, you see people when a police officer drives down the road and somebody reaches over and grabs their seatbelt. You know, because it reminds them this is a right thing to do for my safety. So the presence of that authority, you know, caused them to put their seatbelt on. But somebody else, they see the police officer and it causes them to hide their drugs. You know, totally two different viewpoints.
Right.
You know, and one of them was trying to get away with something. And the other one, it reminded them of what was right. Two different viewpoints. And so not only is wisdom understanding that God rewards us for diligently seeking him, but there's consequences for not seeking him, for not walking in his ways, for not being his disciple. And the message that's been preached is you don't have to be his disciple. You just got to say a prayer. As long as you say Jesus' name somewhere. You know, and the word of God says, you know, you can cry out to the Lord and you can be saved, but it's not crying tears and sadness because you got caught with something. You're crying out because you said, I want you, Jesus. I want you to be the Lord of my life. It's a whole throwing yourself into the mercies and the arms of God when you do that. These same things, though, these consequences happen to the ignorant. Those are ignorant of God's ways and do not seek to know him. But they just don't have a clue that God's allowing those things to happen. They don't realize that God's involved in the affairs of men. It's not that these things are not happening.
Exactly.
They just come up with some theories like it's because of the, you know, the El Nino. You know, it's because of, you know, we always thought that fault line was a little short. You know, we always thought, you know, and bad things happen to good people. I'm not saying that. I mean, and to tell you the truth, the shocker really should be that how come worse things don't happen to these evil folk? God is so merciful, right?
Exactly.
Instead of being caught up and thinking, you know, how come bad things happen to good people? I'm going to look at Jesus. Couldn't be any better than that, you know. But my question is, how can evil exist for so long? And God's mercy is so, it's just amazing
is. Amazing.
Yeah. And then finally, the knowledge about God, the Holy One, is it's understanding. That's how we get understanding. We get understanding by knowing more about God. Religion has turned the learning things about God into an option. It's turned to an option. And a something that, that one may or may not do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Something that if a person is serious, serious about whether they're gonna go after God and not get knowledge or not, they go, hey, I'm gonna once a week I'm gonna talk about God. I'm gonna go with where I gather it and I'm gonna talk about God. But a wise man, a wise woman soaks in the knowledge of God and lives in his understanding.
Sure. Daily.
Daily. And not religiously, but daily. You know, you wanna know how things work. You know, and right now, if you go into the Word of God and you study and you pray, you're going to find out that, you know, you'll be able to understand the signs of the times and what's happening in the season that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily a good thing, but you'll find out the answer is God's people turn. Wisdom would tell you, you just got to begin to preach the gospel, the clear, simple, direct gospel. And you'll realize when Jesus did that, he had a whole religious crew was the ones that was going to fight him. Mm-hmm. Anytime God begins to correct us and bring us back on track again, I mean, the ones you're going to probably fight with the most or is going to try to cause a lot of difficulty are going to be the people that have to acknowledge, you know, we've been walking in traditions and philosophies and not God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to buckle up. You know, that's going to happen.
Right.
And but understand this, that by having wisdom, and when you have a fear of the Lord and understanding this, that you have your whole journey in wisdom begins.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to begin to pray. Just ask God for a fear of the Lord. Not that you're terrified, but the same way you would about a healthy relationship with you and your father, you know, you and a father figure, you and your mother, you know, or a mother figure, and understanding that you need. And if you don't, we don't have a fear, you know, of God, you know, men will, you know, you serve what you fear. John Bevere said this in his book, The Fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man.
Mm-hmm.
If you fear God, you serve God.
That's right.
Yeah. If you fear man, you don't serve God because you serve what you fear. Yeah. See, until you have a fear of God, you're not serving God.
Mm.
That's right.
A fear of God causes you to, everything you do, you're not perfect. You're making tons of mistakes, but there's grace and the mercy for that. But you're aware of it the way the kid was aware of it when his father was coming home and he didn't do something right. He's immediately wanting to make it right.
You're doing it in view that his eyes are upon you. He's present.
Right. And right now we need wisdom. And the way that wisdom will happen, church, is the fact that we say, God, we need a fear of the Lord in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We need a reverential fear of the Lord in our hearts and begin to ask God for it.
Mm-hmm.
And know that it's not a negative thing. It's the beginning of wisdom. Today's wisdom, Proverbs 9, wisdom moment, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel that we try to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and
yes,
we're trying
does.
To tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Previously on the VFN Radio program.
But, when you read about the shrewd manager, you know, and Pat, if you can make this available to VFN TV subscribers as well, the shrewd manager, Jesus talks about this man. And this man knew he was a prudent man. He was a prudent man because he says, my job is almost over here. My job is almost over. And so he began to make decisions that he wouldn't have made before. And they were like, you think that the boss man would have been upset about the decisions that he made because he started cutting back on things that he normally charged full price for. He like cut them in half and did all these different things. And then his manager or the owner looks at him and he says, you know, you've been a very shrewd manager. He actually commended him for doing that. You know, when you live in a blessed land for a long time, you know, that, you get stuck in these patterns. This is the way things always are, and this is what you do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you are about to be persecuted, when you, for example, imagine the Jews, you know, in Germany, when all of a sudden they're closing down their businesses, they're marching them to the ghettos, they're bringing them to the trains, you know, you just don't go, oh, yeah, it's time for us to listen, and it's, you know, that we're just going to follow them to the trains. No, it's time to be shrewd, and that's what a lot of them were able to hide diamonds and gold and different things. To protect themselves. They're able to pass messages back and forth. They had a lot of different things going on. And one of them, if you listen to Schindler's List, it's very powerful. He was a very shrewd businessman, started off, you know, with the wrong motives, but he fell in love with the Jewish people and he began to rescue them. He was very shrewd about it. Mm-hmm. Anne Frank's diary, when you study Anne Frank and all the things that happened with Anne Frank, that was very shrewd how they hid out the Jews. You know, when you think about, you know, so many of them. And it's time for us to understand we're going to have to be shrewd in how we handle things. It's not business as usual at a time like this when all these things are happening and will come upon the face of the earth and will come to America. I believe there's going to be a season that we're going to have to walk through because you notice people aren't listening too well. They're continuing on, like the simple people continue on and suffer for it. But you can prepare and understand God even wants those that aren't listening. Those that right now are acting like Ninevites, he loves them. He cares about them. Even if they can't tell their left hand from their right, he loves them. And we should love them too. And we want to be able to win them over to him and let them know that he loves them. He'll forgive them. He'll restore them. And that's the message. We don't need to be like Jonah and running from our call. We just need to go. I mean, why end up swimming with whales? You know what I'm saying? Why have a seaweed wrap and all that type of stuff? Just go. Just go. And think about it. If we quickly go, if we don't wait, if we just go and start telling people. And listen, if you're in a place of gathering that has nullified the word of God by setting aside the commands of God and setting aside for men's traditions and philosophies, you got to first bring it up and see if things can be worked out and be open to it. But if they're not open to it, you're not going to be able to do this in that place. You just can't do it. You cannot be free to follow God when men's traditions are there, because the word has been nullified. The same word, you could have two people standing by each other and they can believe the very same word, but one of them will have power in what they're doing, and God will back it up and confirm his word. But the other one will just have a religious experience. They'll expound on it when they teach on it, but nothing happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's because it's been nullified by their tradition. They're set aside God's commands. And so there's power in God's word. There's power in it. You know, and anybody who's been around the VFN family and things, well, we just see, it's amazing some things that we've seen God do. And if you, in coming close to those that are walking with the Lord the best they can, walking with God, that you'll find out that if you're trying to come to what God is doing from tradition, but you try to carry that tradition with you, you got a bucket full of tradition and a bucket full of philosophies, and you're trying to bring that in and integrate that and what's going on. I mean, understand this, God was repulsed by what the Pharisees were doing. It was evil to set aside what he expected for what they expected. It was evil to set aside his commands. He called them hypocrites. He called them all these different things, and he confronted leadership. And so it's not good to carry that. You're not going to be able to carry, half of the tradition with you and two quarts of philosophy with you. Because what do we see? I mean, we literally see God, hold that person and say, listen, and God will give people a chance. When you follow God, he'll give you a chance to let it go. I mean, he loves you, and he wants you to make it, but you can't carry the bucket of sin with you. You can't carry the bucket of apostate with you. You can't carry the traditions and philosophies of men with you. You got to go for God. Just go for God. Mm-hmm. And we will have more about that. If you're interested in that, you go to the VFNfamily.org. Maybe you can find something you can relate to one of the VFN families. But there's people out there who are hearing from God and doing what God asks of us.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Also, we talked about racial profiling and got a chance to look back where myself and, Minister Willie Williams in a time of United Prayer, you can actually see that video. I think the video is available now on the VFN Torch, where we're standing repenting, me as a former law enforcement officer, him as an African-American minister. We're able to come before God and repent for racial profiling done by law enforcement for years in America. And speaking of that, it makes me think about, I was going to a restaurant in Alabama. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were with me, John, or somebody was. I don't know if maybe Donna was with me. And in this restaurant, a chain restaurant, but of course, a chain restaurant does not carry necessarily the same spirit.
Right.
It can be the local people who work there and manage it or own that franchise. Their spirit can be over that.
Exactly.
And so I was walking, they're sitting me somewhere or something, and I passed by this application box that you put your application for employment in. And over the application box, like imagine a wood box on the wall and a little slot in the top of it. And I guess you fill out your application and you put it in there. But right on top of this box was this old black and white picture of some old police cruiser with several white police officers in that older, not as professional looking today as they were, where their buttons are down on their shirt, some holding shotguns and sticks. I mean, I felt like, that I was, in Selma, Alabama. I mean, God just instantly took me there.
Wow.
And that day, and I'm thinking, this is a racist spirit over this restaurant. Yeah. They're trying to bow up at people of color to come in here and work at this restaurant. Mm-hmm. I was shocked.
Wow.
I couldn't even rest. I'm like, we got to deal with this. This is wrong.
I remember you called me up when you told me about that. But what city was that in?
That was Mobile, Alabama.
Was it really?
No.
Mobile?
I think it was Mobile. No, it was.
I thought it was an L. I'm trying to think of this.
It was in Lower Alabama, one of those areas okay. there. But it was a chain. It was a chain. Literally a chain. It was a chain restaurant, and they were unapologetic. They were unapologetic about it. And I thought, oh, how offensive is that? You know, you send your son or your daughter to go put in an application for a restaurant. You're thinking, you know, that here, you know, they're just going to apply for a job.
Right.
And they get confronted with that spirit when they put them like,
that's terrible.
That's horrific. That parent would have never known that they would have experienced that kind of, you know, in your face rejection, you know, and it just, you just feel like it, you just, what you, this is spirit that was there on, in that one moment on that job application area was get out of our city.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what happened to me in that city. I got pulled over in that city.
Oh, really?
Over that same spirit.
Oh, wow.
When I was pulled over, I went to pick up Diesel. That's when I first got my dog. We were coming back, the whole family in the car. Pulled me over. They didn't give me a reason why he pulled me over. And you could just feel that spirit. He says, you're from around here? And I give him my license. I'm like, no, I'm not. And he just let me go. It was the weirdest thing. I'm thinking, you got to get out of here. You know, but no reason, no anything.
Yeah. It was Spanish Fort, Alabama, actually. But we have to say something. You know, when something's not right like that, you just got to say something and realize that a parent is going to send their child to get a job, and they're not, and you have to be the person that says, you know, you don't want some kid to be crushed coming in here, and this younger generation don't have all that baggage that comes from past generations, but they would have been confronted by the sins of the fathers right there at that box, and felt at that one moment taken on a spirit of rejection. I mean, I felt it in my spirit. I felt it
when I was pulled over.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But imagine having, when you look at the videos of the dogs and all that stuff that happened where they're coming against our brothers and sisters, you know, in the 60s and the fire hoses and all that. And look how the officer was dressed at that time. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what they look like, leaning against the car with shotguns and stuff, looking like they were on edge. I just knew what spirit it was of. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I knew what it was. And I thought, what if I sent my son or my daughter here to get a job and they're a person of color? And they came there and they see that immediately they're going to experience something they never would have experienced. That I was like, this is a chain restaurant. Well, it's like, oh my goodness. So I told him, I said, that, you know, that is, but the tenacity was that they had no problem with it.
Mm.
They wanted it to scare people off.
Wow.
You know, but I believe that they were blinded to what they were really doing in the context of that. They're thinking that meant, you know, I assume that it meant don't work here if you're not going to be legal, you know, in regards to if you're going to steal from the company or something like that. And these were, you know, but how it's going to be perceived by other people was totally different. I mean, they don't want people's, you know, it wasn't a racial type thing to them.
Sure.
Because it was, you know, four white guys, you know, leaning on it's four white police officers leaning on the old cruiser with shotguns, a half button shirt. I just felt like I was fixing to be squirted with a water hose. You know, I'm like, get out of this place. I mean, poor Don. I'm like, I was like nonstop. I was like, just offended.
Yeah.
I was offended, but we have to get that way and understand that we have to stand together. You know, it's E Pluribus Unum. Though we're many, we're one. You know, speaking of that, you know, if you missed yesterday talking about redigging the wells of our father, redigging the wells, it's going to be September the 15th in Birmingham, Alabama. You also can find about that on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And, you know, back 49 years ago, this September the 15th was when, right after Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke at the Washington Mall, you know, the I Have a Dream, you know, speech. Mm-hmm. Right after that in Birmingham is when the Ku Klux Klan, it says KKK in the article on the VFN torch, and a lot of young people might not even know what that is, but you can click on, there's a link on that, and you can click on it, and it'll explain to you what the KKK was.
Oh, good.
And, but, you know, we had, you know, Paul Davison kind of sharing with us what's going on, inviting us to be a part of that. And 49 years to the day that the bombing that took place right there at the Baptist Church in Birmingham, it was the 16th Street Baptist Church. And on September the 15th, 49 years ago in 1963, this September the 5th. And so we're gonna be there by God's grace. You know, it's always James 4:15. Right. You know, if it's in God's will, we're going to be there and stand with, you know, Paul and all the other ones that are there to just pray and ask God to because that spirit's still there.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what
That's
I'm saying?
Right. I know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. Don't touch the car. Don't touch the car.
Don't touch it. I remember that.
Yeah, right. What are you doing in here?
I'm an usher. Get your hands off the car.
Yeah. I mean, we have our brothers and sisters in the Lord who calling the police on their brother and sister in the Lord because they're people of color who sit by them. If you miss this, you've got to go back to the highlights or, you know, go into on the VFN torch and hear about a brother of ours, you know, Derek, where he was in his parking lot, you know, praying in his church, you know, church parking lot. Mm-hmm. And he had sat by this lady for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 years, he said, we sang the same songs. you got to hear him talk about this. But he said, you know, we worship the same God, you know, that we fell under the same power of the same God. It was so funny.
Right, on the same carpet.
The same carpet and all. And, but yeah, he was in the parking lot one night. He was in the parking lot one night and praying. And he's, you know, pacing back and forth and praying. And this lady that he sat beside for 5 years. I mean, you got to understand, you know, Derek is, you know, 6'5", 300 something, but you don't miss Derek.
Yeah.
And he's just a bundle of, you know, love. You know, he's just very compassionate.
Oh, yeah. Big old smile.
Big old smile on his face and tender and all. But, you know, that she called the police on him and said, there's some black male in our parking lot, you know, looking in the cars of our windows. This is terrible.
Right.
This is terrible. I mean, you got to hear this. It's called Racism in the Traditional Church Still. You know, it's a question mark. Mm. And it's racism in the church. So we have to deal with a spirit.
Yeah.
You know, we have to deal with it. And so they called the police she called the police. This lady sat by him for 5 years. Oh, she's white and he's black. You got to go back and listen to this. You got to listen to it because, you know, there's so many wounded sons and daughters that needed, first of all, they needed everything that a son and daughter needs, which is a lot. But now they have the additional wounding that kept them away from the very thing to begin the process of getting what they need as a son or a daughter in the Lord. And, but, you know, Derek does a real good job. He's very gracious in how he shares it. And so September the 15th, you know, we're going to go to Birmingham, or I'm going to go to Birmingham. Would you go with me?
Yeah, I'll go. Okay. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and we'll go there and just believe. Got to believe that, you know, we may have some crews coming in from Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just to be a part of that.
Because
we get to march. We're going to march or walk or whatever, a procession, all the way from the 16th Avenue Baptist Church all the way to Legion Field.
Wow.
That's just to be a part of that.
That's cool.
You know, you're going to have, you know, the Native Americans are going to be there. Of course, African Americans are going to be there. You know, Americans are going to be, all of us are going to be there. And just to be a part of what's going
That's
on.
That's great.
You know, and to crying out for uncorking the wells of justice. So you can find that. It's on the VFN Torch. It's called Redigging the Wells. You can find it at redigginthewells.org. Or you can go to the highlights on your mobile device and see it as well. We'll be right back.
Wow, I mean, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you, vfnu.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
John, one of my last jobs, you know, at the as a deputy sheriff was a school resource officer. It was called ESIL, which stands for Expanded Educational Agricultural Laboratory. I was like, okay. It's a farm, you know, with kids. It's like the last chance particular school they had in their district right there. There's a lot of different things going on, you know, different. I thought, you know, all these kids needed just somebody to be able to just kind of father them. And I had all these wrong ideas about how it was going to work. But, you know, one of the things that they did was they wanted to be able to have a golf tournament. It's called Best Ball Golf Tournament, where you have to get several of the teachers together to go out on a golf course to be able to play ball. And the best ball, based on my understanding of it, is that you have a group of people and each of you hit a ball in your group, and you have several groups playing each other, and whoever hits the best ball, you play off that ball. And, of course, I know what a hook is. And I know what a slice is, which is not what you want. And I didn't play golf. I kind of hacked at golf. You know what I'm saying? I was hacking at it. And these guys were merciless. It was just totally terrible. You know, I kept on trying to hit the ball, you know, in a certain direction, but it would go in a total different direction. And finally, I was on a putting green. And I thought, this is it. I am almost there. My ball lands, and I'm going to knock it in. And finally, one of these teachers looks at me and says, just pick your ball up. I'm like, you know, I can't believe that. Of course, I didn't have the best ball at that point, but this is what happened. That's why I got to tell you why. This is so important. So we get back, and this particular teacher was one of the guys who worked with the students in the agricultural area. And so he had sort of like a shed, if you would, of where his some of his equipment was and his file cabinets. And there's this file cabinet, four-door file cabinet, that has a metal rod that you slide down to lock the whole file cabinet up. So you have to raise it higher than the file cabinet and you're lowering it down. So it's the same day now. The same day the boy makes in front of my golf. He's out there fixing to lock up his file cabinet, and he lifts that rod up to slide it down into the file cabinet, and lightning, I'm telling you, lightning comes down and strikes that rod and comes right through him and goes right into the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
He's okay. It did erase his credit card, all the little magnetic strips on his credit cards. But he comes in, he's just shocked, obviously. His hair's kind of sticking out a little bit. But he's okay. Nothing happened to him physically. But he looked at me, total hair sticking out, you know, frazzled. And I looked at him and I said, don't ever make in front of my golf again. You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends. They're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful thing. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you're alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel, preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people. Every single month, at the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
As we are talking and seeing what's taking place today, you know, we always talk about we want to be educated. You know, we want to be able to illuminate, you know, what we're seeing with the light of God's word. And we want to be able to inspire you. And that's what we want to do. And, you know, not to tell you all these things that are happening without looking at God's perspective of it, which would be to illuminate it. But then we want to inspire you and say, you know what? You know, this is why you want to do it. And then we want to activate you. We want to say, you know what? You know, everybody, think about when Paul went to, I believe it was Greece. Was it Greece? You can fill me in where he went to here. When everybody was just sitting around, they were just talking. That's all they were doing. They're pontificating, you know what I'm saying? They were just talking about what was taking place. And they had people, servants that did all their work for them. And so, you know, Paul shows up and he begins to and he sees gods all over the place. He sees these statues all over the place. And he talks to them and he says, you know, that and they just love the next news program that came on. You know what I'm saying? Just talk to me some more about something I'm not going to do.
Right.
And so then Paul came and he talked to them about what was happening, and he presented them the gospel. And he talked about the unknown God. Of course, we've talked about that. But, you know, about, you know, you have one that says the unknown God. Well, let me tell you who he is. And he began to present Jesus Christ and the awesomeness of who he is. And they said, well, we just really like what you're saying. It's just really stimulating to you. As a matter of fact, can you come back tomorrow and tell us some more? And the big thing about that was they were idle. These leaders, these people who were blessed were in regards to being able to have servants and all those things that were taking place, that they were blessed. And so they weren't active. They didn't do anything. They just kind of talked all day long. They came together and they just said, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, I was thinking this, and they know philosophies and all these different things. And when you think about it, since it's done so differently today, that we don't ever compare ourselves to the simplicity of how things really are. There's nothing new under the sun. We just do it in a different way. And you think about it, a 24-hour news cycle, I mean, people can hear news all day long, and it's like you're just going to get more fearful, more worried, and more concerned if you don't have God's perspective of the news. If you don't understand that you know, how to change this or how to affect people's life, or that, you know, the Lord is coming back and there is going to be a time when, and it's not going to be turned around and God's just going to come back and rescue us. But understanding that we're doing the very same thing today. I mean, we're doing the very same thing today that, you know, and the people are just talking about what they heard on the news, but it's like, are you going to do anything with it? I mean, why do you want to know anything if you're not going to do anything about it? And if you're a believer, this is one thing that always would get my goat, as they would say, probably where I rode my motorcycle, they probably what they say. And is that right, Pat? Is that what they say out there? And
yeah.
So then, you know, I remember, I was a traditional pastor for about 6 years. You know, we founded a traditional church from the beginning up, so we know how it all works, you know. And in that, I remember that talking to one particular couple once, and the couple said this when we're talking, because we're always like, let's get busy, let's do what God says, let's go in the field, let's go. They're looking at you like, what? You know what? And I'm thinking, like, I'm not going to continue talking to a people that aren't planning on doing what's going on. This is not working. This is not supposed, you know, Jesus would talk to you for a while, but then he would send you out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to do something with this. And so, right. And so one particular couple, I remember saying once, he said, listen, we're going to go somewhere else. We want to go someplace that we just sit there and we're not expected to do anything.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's going to be easy to find. You know,
right.
And I'm not being negative. I'm just saying, I'm talking about, and when we talk about the church, we're talking about people. We're not talking about buildings. Listen, you know, buildings are wonderful. I don't care if it's a house building or an office building or a storefront building or a stucco building or a crystal cathedral building or a block building or a hay building or no building or a tunnel vision or underground. I know some people are living in like 747s in the wilderness. I mean, shelter is good in a storm. There ain't nothing like shelter, and there ain't nothing like air conditioner either, by the way. I sure hope America turns around before we lose our air conditioner. It's going to be rough. And so, yeah, we'll just have to call you up, Howard, and you got to tell us how, you know, you've learned how to live. I was talking to Howard. John, I was talking to Howard in Malawi, and it started raining, and their houses have 10 roofs.
10.
Yeah, not the number 10, 10 roofs. And the rain was so loud, he finally said, I'm going to have to call you back after the storm.
Wow.
This exposed 10 roof. And here he is serving the Lord and, you know, planting churches and being there for the kids. And just, you know, we'll talk more about that in the future. And so it is possible, America. It's possible. But, you know, I'm saying that because, you know, we can look at the Bible and think, oh, that never happened. It's not going to happen to us. And it's like, we're doing it today. We're getting all this information, more information. They said, and this is what you could probably help me out with this, John. But they say that, you know, that our grandfathers, that we've actually have more information in one day.
Yeah.
In one day in our life, we have that much information hitting us, that our grandfathers or great grandfathers didn't have in the entire lifetime.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, like, what are we doing with this? You know, what are we doing with this information? Like, I just, you know, as a matter of fact, we started slowing down and said, you know what? We want to use a pencil and a paper. I want to move at the pace that I can obey God. You know, I want to interact with God. And we do that at iabide.org. You know, it's a good plan. People want to spend some time with God. Quite often they need a plan to be able to do that. You can actually go to iabide.org and find out the plan that we're using. You'll just request the plan that comes to you immediately. There's a video that kind of explains to you. And you'll see, as I'm talking to you, I have journals for years of where I've just been spending time with God with a pencil and the Bible and him and me. And you guys have done that as well, and many of our listeners have.
Right.
And there's just this, who can take that from you? Nobody can take that from you. I mean, if you can't pay your cable bill, if you can't pay your power bill, if you got a piece of paper, your Bible and God, you got it made, you know? It's just refreshing, you know, to be able to get back to that, you know? We like using electronics and different things, but we always say that we want these electronic devices to submit to us. We don't want to submit to them. So we use them, but we don't let them use us, if that makes sense. And so you can find out that plan at iabide.org. And I'm saying that because really we're doing the same thing. We're just sitting around talking, and I can only talk so long before I say, okay, now we're going to do something about it. You know, what are we going to do about it? You know, we're not about entertainment, even though, you know, we entertain ourselves quite often about it. But we're just about, you know, let's do something about it. You know, God's empowered you as a believer, and everything that's the same Jesus that's in everybody else that you've ever been seeing used by God is in you. You know, we're going to be talking about God's generals and those that have gone before us and the blessedness of possessing nothing, you know, and Tozer, and just realizing we got a lot of wrong mindsets that have kept us from obeying God. And there's a lot of people around you that you're going to be shocked when you find out what God, when you're going God's way, how many people that you assume that they were really going God's way, that second heaven or the adversary will use them to try to stop you from going forward. No, that can be a lot of your process. You know, part of Joseph's process was to be able to go through those processes to be trained up. Part of David's processes was to go through those rough times to be trained up. But don't understand this, that when you go with God, you're going to go against the grain. You know, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go that way, but narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.